I'm supposed to take a couple questions. Somebody have a question, or it'll look like this was really bad.
Early on, you were talking about how when you responded to God's grace, you feel blessings from that grace. I know that some of the saints, including Mother Teresa, have written that through years of faithfulness and extreme, they experience extreme desolation. Do you say that that's a different kind of desolation?
Yeah. I would. I mean, desolation is not going to be, I mean, we all know that the spiritual life is not a up, you know, once I find God, then it just keeps on getting better. It's not like that. But, you know, even Mother Teresa is a great example that when she received a call within a call. She was already a religious. She was a member of an Irish order that taught in a wealthy school in Calcutta. So she taught wealthy children. And then she received this call within a call to go out to the poor in Calcutta and she received ultimately permission to start Missionaries of Charity. She received great consolation in discerning that call within a call. In fact, that's one of the things that she'll say, that was kind of one of the last times I received consolation. Now, again, Mother Teresa is an advanced case. So part of what made her exceptional and heroic is that she carried on, though there was a lot of desolation in her life. Other saints, St. John of the Cross, the Dark Night of the Soul. That's going to be true in all of our lives, hopefully not to the same extent. But again, what's interesting is, I'm guessing, not that I know, but I'm guessing that the consolation and the confirmation that Mother Teresa received in discerning her call within the call is what carried her through. And again, that desolation does not equate to torture or something. Mother Teresa was a joyful person. She was a joy, you know, she wasn't a sad sack. In you know, okay, I go pick up some more poor. She wasn't like that. So she still exhibited joy, but in her inner life of prayer, there were those, what was that teaching her? To trust. We're going to all be dealing with that, but I think it's a little bit different kind of desolation.
The part that you pray, especially during adoration, the exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, benediction, I think I've had the experience where you can actually, like, you're hearing God in the silence and the stillness. You hear His voice, and I'm thinking, it's not to say something in your mind, right? It's something in your heart. Now, so is that how we hear God mainly, or I mean, God can speak to us in many different ways, right? Or how is that?
I think that's different for different people. Some people, you know, really do speak of experiences where they hear God, whether it's internally or externally, or where they've have these experiences. And other people kind of are more in the trenches, kind of slug it out. You know, they don't seem to get that voice that's coming. And that's why I think it's so important what Ignatius is telling us about the discernment of spirits, that it's not to say that God can't give us some very clear direction in a given time, that maybe we just know in some way this is the right decision. I really feel that very strongly. But regardless of whether we get a voice or not, the discernment of spirits is over the course of time, right? How am I feeling? It takes 8 years for a man to move through the process of priestly formation. 8 years. We're testing this over the course of time. Is there abiding peace? Is there abiding joy? So not to say that some people can get voices and that leads them in a particular direction, but what's happening inside through all of it?
You mentioned that we should follow our passions, but how... Would it be a good way to know whether a passion is from God or whether it's a selfish passion?
Yeah, that again, I would go back to what I just said. That's why test of time. And that's kind of a buzzword in our culture too. Follow your passion, which just means do whatever the heck you want. Whatever. So we already know that is not, that's why I kind of emphasize, that's not a Christian vocation. If the, you know, we're giving our life away. If, you know, my passion is to win American Idol and be adored by countless people. I mean, that can be a legitimate passion, but we have to balance that off by knowing what a Christian vocation is. And again, what are the spirits doing in us? Am I finding, remember Ignatius, remember when he read the Knight's books? He liked them. They were attractive, but it was in the aftermath, almost the aftertaste, where he felt bored and desolate. This isn't good for me. So there's lots of things out there that we're attracted to and we go for, feel passionate about, but then does it stand the test of time? Good. Thank you for at least asking some questions. So.
Okay, so Father Matt has written up two questions for you, and they're going to be handed out two per table. The questions are, and we'll take about 10 minutes to discuss this in groups of maybe four, half of the table and half of the table. It is, which cultural obstacle to discernment seems most significant to you? Are there others that you can identify? Question number one. Question two, what discernment tool needs the most attention in your life right now? So why don't you take, 10 minutes, real quick, half the table, four people, and you can chat. Questions are coming around, and then we'll do a little debrief if anyone feels like they want to share. So go ahead and chat. Well, first of all, there was a question someone asked Father Matt, during the discussion. So would you be willing to share that a little bit? A little note?
Someone asked what I thought was a really good question I didn't really touch on. And they were asking about the tension between one's vocation and one's career. So, you know, you're married and yet you want to develop your career. You might feel called to develop your career further. You might be being called to seek another career or more education. How does that all work together? I think one thing, of course, to remember that our primary vocation in that sense, if one is married, is to spouse and children. So that's also a countercultural thing, right? Sometimes we look at that differently culturally. So it's got to go for the gusto, go push my career as far as I can go, irregardless of what's happening at home. That clearly is not what we're called to in Christian marriage or as parents. But nevertheless, there's a lot of room in there for development, for maybe a career change, and those are some of the very kinds of decisions that we can bring to discernment and to look at what this particular person, I said the very fact that this is coming up in them could be God's spirit that's nudging them. Could also be the devil too, but that's why we discern spirits, right? So one of the principles that Ignatius would advocate is that when we kind of think we're on the right track with something, he would say, take a step. You know, sometimes in life you can kind of be paralyzed. God, show me what to do. I'm not going to leave my room, but please show me what to do. You know, God can't do much with that. But if we kind of can take a step, sometimes we take a step no matter what. You can trust God to give you the straight scoop and take a step in either direction. And God will, if it's in accord with God's will, the spirits will confirm that. You will find that in desolation or consolation, whatever. So again, in this particular person, maybe it's taking the step, maybe even just to investigating career development or educational development or whatever, and seeing what happens. How does that How does that correspond to family life? Does it throw everything into complete confusion, and is it a big disaster? That might be a sign. Does it work out? Those are, again, ways that we can see where God's leading us. And then also, in terms of this nightly examine, Ignatius would call it, and one way of looking at it is examine. You've heard of an examination of conscience, but we might call it examine of consciousness, of our conscious state during the day. Here's a nice little one in this little book, what you might do. You ask for the light of the Holy Spirit to see through God's eyes your life. Again, this could happen in 5 minutes. What gifts have I received during the day that I need to be thankful for? You know, again, just to pour over the day. What are some things? It could be simple things, you know, simple little things that you're thankful for. Where has God been working during the day in my life? Where am I cooperating with God? Where am I cooperating with the sinful element within me and not doing what I want to do in the Lord? The forgiveness of God offers, so then I reflect that God is offering me his forgiveness. And then how will God be with me tomorrow? The confidence that God's Spirit will be with me, leading me the next day. And hopefully I will grow each day more sensitive to that. And you will, if you pay attention, you will be more sensitive to the Spirit moving you. So again, a little 5-minute exercise.
And that book we're going to put online on our website to yamsd.org. So if you want more information about all the Ignatian prayers, this little book's got it all. It's called Hearts of Fire, Praying with Jesus. Oh, Praying with the Jesuits. Oops, Praying with Jesuits. Put the eyeglasses on. So was there any other questions that came up or something that you discussed at your tables that you would like to discuss and maybe would someone else would glean a nugget from your wisdom or something that's helped you, or another question for Father Matt before he leaves us tonight for maybe another 4 years. Just kidding. Hopefully. Yes.
Father, how did you decide to be a priest?
Good question. How did you decide to be a priest, Father?
Dartboard. I just threw a dart. No. You do not have time to hear that story. But I will say that in my own journey, it was, I made my journey much more difficult than it needed to be. And that's why I love working with the men that I have worked and to see how God works in their lives and how I've watched God work in many people's lives. And I realized that part of my temperament was to make that journey more difficult. Some of the things I've shared with you, I learned from personal experience. But I will say that in the end, as I kind of agonized, is this what God's calling me to or what, part of it became an issue of recognizing that I had the gifts to do this. First of all, that I cared about it, and that was a sign. Not everyone thinks of this. Not everyone cares about this, but I did. And then learning in time that I had the gifts to do that, and I could only do that with people who helped me and could reflect that to me. And then I was left with this existential problem because I knew that the work of priesthood needed to be done, and I had the gifts to do it. And so then it became a question simply, will I do it? And I just have to say that ultimately I had, I'm not the lucky kind of person that gets signs or hears God's voice. So I had to kind of say, well, I think I should do this. And only in the doing it, according to how Ignatius would say, did I find that joy and peace and really happiness. And it was really after I was ordained, one day I was just sitting there and I suddenly realized, oh my God, I'm happy.
I was going to ask, how to find that balance between getting a word from God and then just going with it before hearing the whole thing, to have a little bit more, put on the brakes to, just going with what the first thing you heard instead of, being able to listen to the whole thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm hearing, avoiding impulsive kinds of things, right? Well, again, I think that's where Ignatius is the genius, and he would never have advocated, jumping into something recklessly. And that's why it's hard to do what Ignatius is advocating if you're not kind of working at it each day. So where you start to grow more sensitive to how God is working today, not you should be a priest, you should marry Susie, you should whatever. It's just today, this thing, I should help that person over there. I think I'm called to help that person. Do you say it's in the little things? And so that when we're trying to discern bigger things, we have some sensitivity to the way God moves in us and what that feels like, both in the nudging and afterwards, so Ignatius would never say, oh, just jump into something. He would say, if you're discerning, take a little step. So you're discerning something, and if you're discerning a graduate program, what's the first step? Well, I think I'll investigate graduate programs. I'll go online and look, how does that feel? Where did that leave you? Did you get more excited about that possibility? Do you see little steps? You probably want to take a little step out the door, don't you? So just a closing prayer. Ignatius again. I'll bet you will have heard this before, but maybe you didn't know it was St. Ignatius. So this is, as we talked about Mother Teresa being advanced, this is St. Ignatius. This is someone who's come to the fullness of being able to give themselves to God. Take, Lord, and receive all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, and my entire will. All I have and call my own. You have given all to me. To you, Lord, I return it. Everything is yours. Do with it what you will. Give me only your love and your grace. That is enough for me.